I hope you're excited about what the future holds here at Revive, specifically here at South Creek and in our community. And so watching that video just excites me. It also just gives us a beautiful picture of our church body as a whole, as we see all of our other campuses alive and active and effective in their communities. And so I hope you're excited about what that holds for you. My challenge is for you this morning is to not check out, because of course we had just mentioned that June 5th, we're going to have Commitment Sunday, where we're hoping that we can commit to being a part of this. But it's not just about the money. That's what the bumper said. It's about our heart. Where are we? How can we contribute to this with our time and our talent and our treasures and our resources? And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that this morning. But I think in order for us to be able to truly engage with Heart Check, we need to be living a life of freedom in Jesus Christ, like truly understanding what our freedom in Jesus looks like. And as we understand what our freedom in Jesus that we have because of his death and resurrection on the cross, when we truly understand that, we can live a life of freedom in the kingdom of God. And now when I think of freedom, one of the things I think of probably more than anything, honestly, is our country, right? I mean, we live in a land of the free. We have the freedom to pretty much do anything we want. We can come into worship services every week without persecution. We can do things in this community. And I realized the events yesterday put a little dark shadow on that. But the reality is that we do have the freedom to go about our daily activities in this beautiful country. But often what happens is we sort of have this mentality or this mindset because of the freedom that we have to live out this American dream or to keep up with the Joneses, as you may have heard. And we're constantly finding ourselves in this comparison trap where we're looking at everybody else and what they're doing, and we're looking at social media and we're realizing that we don't have everything we should have, or I don't have the best things, or I don't have the best kind of house, or I'm not going on the best vacations like all of these other people are. And we start to think that maybe we're not doing things right. And what happens is the American dream or the freedom that we live in actually becomes the very thing that oppresses us and constrains us from truly living a life of freedom in Jesus Christ, because we're so bound and caught up in trying to live up to everybody else's expectations. And so the freedom that we have in this country and the wealth that is all around us often can become the very thing that holds us down and holds us back from impacting the kingdom of God before us. One incredible way to sort of put a picture into this idea of wealth and what we have here in this comparison idea is a story that took place in Zambia, Africa, that I had already mentioned that we work with Poetis, and we send trips there every year. And so we are actually sending a trip there this summer again, a Love Choma trip. In fact, there's a small fundraiser taking place immediately after service for that over there. We're selling those wristbands, and we'll explain that at the end of service as well. But we're sending these teams over, and so every year we send them over, and at the end of these trips, there's a debrief time in which we usually meet in a local coffee shop and sort of debrief together. And so this was taking place in 2009, this trip. I was not on the specific trip, but I know the shop they were in, and I know the situation, so I still want to share the story because it was a very unique experience in which the worlds of wealth and poverty collided. And so I don't know if you remember what happened in 2009, but Michael Jackson died in 2009. And maybe you remember where you were when he died. Many events in life, we remember where we were. I was actually, as I got the news that he had passed away, was interestingly enough in the recording studio recording vocals for a track on one of, and you probably don't even know that, but anyway, a previous life of mine, I have like music and an album and all that stuff. So I was in the studio recording that. I got word of that. And I was like, what? This is crazy. Well, in July of 2009, there was the funeral service, and maybe you remember, it was glamorous, it was enormous, it was at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, there was all sorts of celebrities there, his casket was gold-plated, I mean, it was crazy, right? It was just this expanse of wealth demonstrated for the world to see, and it was being piped into this small coffee shop in Africa. And so the story goes that there was people crowded into this place, they were looking at this small TV with this poor image, but of this immaculate ceremony taking place for this wealthy celebrity. And so all of a sudden you have this world of wealth and this world of poverty combined and colliding in this coffee shop in Zambia. And it was this crazy experience that, again, I only heard about, but I have seen these worlds collide in many times in the past. And so this took place, and what it reminds me of is the scripture that we're going to talk about today. It reminds me of 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8 and verse 17, and I'm going to read that in just a minute as we continue. These are words from the Apostle Paul directly to his disciple Timothy, and he warns Timothy and he tells Timothy and instructs Timothy these words. He says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." When we look at the Zambians and when we look at Michael Jackson, this is true. Both Michael Jackson and Zambians and you and I, we come into this world with nothing and we leave this world with nothing. The Zambian lifestyle may look very different than the celebrity's lifestyle, than Michael Jackson's lifestyle, but in the end, it all ends the same way. They can't take any of their wealth with them. They can't take any of their poverty with them. They enter in to the presence of Jesus, or whatever is their case at the end of life, the same as all of us. And so Paul's words to Timothy speak into this reality. And so we're going to look a little deeper into the passages that we just read. We can learn, and we're going to learn three different things about how we can truly live free in the kingdom of Jesus as we walk through this world. And so we're going to go back to verse 6. It says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. The opposite of contentment is this gnawing desire for more, right? More stuff, more money, more things, more resources. And when we find ourselves in this place, we find ourselves unable to experience rest, peace, or enjoyment because we're always looking for something else. We're always looking for more. In fact, next week, we're going to focus a lot on this concept of more and how it can be an unhealthy trap for us. But it's the basic identity, it's the basic fundamental aspect of this passage right here. And to give you a little bit of a glimpse of it in a humorous fashion, I want to show you this video that sort of identifies what I'm talking about. Check this out.
It is the newest.
Even newer.
Everything else is obsolete.
I just want this one.
What the?
3D.
Oh, whoa, wait. Oh, 4D TV? Stupid.
You got the wrong TV, silly head.
The new buyback program. You buy it now, we buy it back when the new thing comes out.
So even marketing campaigns are feeding into this reality, right? I mean, we buy something and it's immediately outdated. And so we're constantly looking for the next thing, and this is stripping us away of any contentment because we are constantly comparing to what else is out there. But when we are truly content in what we have, it's beneficial and it's healthy. Because when we're content, we're free to focus and enjoy the things that God provides for us already. We understand that we belong to God, so we can actually relax and not worry about all of these other things that we feel that we need to have and acquire. And Jesus speaks into this very reality in Matthew 6, verses 30 through 32. I want to read the Message version of it. It says this, and speaks into what I just said. "If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving." Contentment. Contentment means that we can enjoy what we have. It means we can relax about what we don't have. It means we can give things away with joy, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. And it means that we can look to God as our ultimate provider. That is contentment. And now most of us have some area in our life that sort of strips us from this contentment. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure or something that you always want. For me, it's actually, there's a few small examples and there's one larger one I'll explain. A few smaller ones. I actually like Legos. My son likes them. I say that my kids like it, but honestly, let's be honest, I like them. And so oftentimes I'll see the next Lego set that comes out. There's this Home Alone Lego set that I really want, but it's not cheap. And so I'm like, we got to get this. I'm like, Camden, we got to get this. And so I'm always looking for the next, like, thing to come out, or maybe the next video game. One of the things, however, that is stripping me of contentment more than anything right now is the fact that I'm in the process of trying to wisely pay off our debt. We don't have an overwhelming amount of debt, but it's enough to not give me peace at night. And so I'm trying to do everything I can to take the right steps to pay off our debt, but every time I take a step forward, it seems like something else slaps me in the face that I can't predict, and these are things that I'm forced to pay for. It's not Legos, it's not video games, but it's broken cars and raising gas prices, right? And so it's this struggle that I find myself in where I'm truly struggling to be content, but then I remind myself of this reality that God is and has provided for me and will continue to provide for me even in the midst of stressful situations. And so it's this intentional act of faith that I have to put in and believe that God is going to work through this and direct me in the right way. And as I do this more and more in life, I learn to be content, to truly be content. So it's easy to say it. It's a whole other aspect to actually live it out, right? So first is be content. Paul's second point that he talks to Timothy about is found in verse 7. He says this. And we already talked about this with the African and Michael Jackson comparison. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. We brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. An interesting example of this is my parents. If you've been here a few years, you remember me asking for my parents as they were trying to sell their home in Wisconsin. They've lived there for over 40 years, and they had acquired a lot of stuff. And they're trying to sell this house, they're trying to retire, but things were just not working out for them. Finally, they did. They were able to sell the home. They were able to retire. They're down in Florida now, and they visit us in the summers, and so it's working out for them. But what they did in the process of that was they began to give a lot of stuff away. They acquired a whole lot of stuff. They realized they couldn't take it with them physically where they were going, and they realized and understand they couldn't take it with them at the end of their life anyway. So they looked through some different aspects, some family heirlooms, and our family inherited some tools from my dad, and my grandpa used to cut rocks and make jewelry and furniture out of it, and so we inherited some of that as well. But most of the stuff that my parents had lying around their house was given away. They realized the fact that they didn't really own these things in the long run anyway. They realized that God owned them and they were just managing them. They realized that these things are eventually going to end up in somebody else's hands anyway or just simply decay, so let's get rid of them and give them some good use as we move them out. And so they were just simply managers of what they had, and it was an incredible example of this. And so, yeah, they were kind of forced into it with physical space, but they also realized that it was what God wanted them to do was to give this stuff away, and so they took great joy in giving this stuff to Goodwill, to the churches, to local people in the community, and to us. And so they learned the art of being generous. They were being generous. And so when we think about being generous for ourselves, this is true in several areas of our life. It's true of our time, it's true of our talents, and it's true of our treasures, both material and financial. But let me speak into a little bit of each of these as we continue. The first, our time. How do we use our time? I mean, it's very easy to like sort of soak up all of your time for yourself. And maybe you're like me and you're introverted and you just like to be alone and you need time alone and you need time to recharge and recuperate. But are you using your time to actually impact the kingdom around you, to actually impact your workplace, your families, or your communities, or your neighborhood? Are you using your time wisely? Or are you blowing it on Netflix or video games or Legos? I don't know, whatever that looks like for you. How are you using your time? Because time is a precious resource. And time, we've talked about this in the past, time is not something we can get back. Once it's gone, it's gone. We are continually moving towards the end of our life and our time. We can't just work more and earn more time. Are we using our time wisely? Second is our talents. Everybody in this room has been gifted with unique abilities and talents. And many of you are probably making a living off of those talents and abilities. And that's fine. That's okay. But have you ever thought to use those talents and those abilities, or maybe those auxiliary talents and abilities that you have as a hobby, to bless your community or your neighbor or your church? We're constantly looking for ways to be able to offer you to serve around here. Our children's ministry, youth ministry, facilities could use help. I mean, there's always ways to serve at the church. Maybe you're good at landscaping. Maybe you're good at plumbing, or maybe you're good at siding. I learned how to side my house about 10 years ago. And then with the ability to do that, I actually was able to side my neighbor's house for him who was handicapped. And it was a great way to serve and extend my talents to my neighbor. And so just tangible little things like that. How do we use our talents? Do we kind of confide them for ourselves? Do we use them to build our own empire? Or do we actually allow ourselves to release some of our talents to those around us? That's what Paul is speaking into this. And then thirdly, the obvious one is our treasure, our finances and our resources, yes. Are we hoarding it for ourselves? Are we keeping it for ourselves? Are we consuming ourselves with it? Or are we allowing ourselves, do we live free enough to realize that these resources will only go so far and we are only managing them? And are we able to release aspects of them, portions of them? We'll talk more about like tithes and offerings and the difference between those as the weeks come forward. And we'll get into this together. But are we free? Are we living free enough to actually release some of our resources? And when we release our resources, we build partnerships like we've just seen in this video and that we'll see continually throughout this month. And even like we have the partnership and the relationship with this pastor in the city who was affected by yesterday's shooting. We have these relationships because we are trying to extend and release our time and our talents and our resources, not only as a church, but as individually. And so the overall concept of this is, are we a distribution center or are we a warehouse? When we look at this, right? We look at our lives and do we think of ourselves as hoarding everything for ourselves like a warehouse and just storing it until it decays and dies? Or are we a distribution center where things come in and through us? That is the idea that God wants us to live by. And so, as we continue, as we learn to be content and generous, Paul has one more command for all of us. And I think this one is pretty interesting and awesome, and I love it. It's 1 Timothy 6:17. I already read it once, but let me read it again. It says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I love how Paul is showing us what to hope in, what to place our hope in. And this lesson should not be lost on us. He lays out two options. You can place your hope in your wealth, your resources, the kingdom that you build yourself, or you can place your hope in God. One is temporary. One will not last. One is unchanging and foundational and eternal. Which one do we want to truly place our hope in? You see, Paul calls us to enjoy what God richly provides for us. And I think it's so easy for us to take for granted what is provided for us each and every day because we're so consumed with trying to build ourselves up or make ourselves match the person next to us that we completely miss out on all that is around us. The creation itself that is around us. The fact that each and every one of us wake up each morning alive and active and able to breathe and take steps forward. We take this stuff for granted, but these are all given to us by God each and every day. One of the best ways that I connect and try and enjoy the creation around me is by immersing myself in nature. Our family is sort of the same way. I've trying to bring them up to enjoy being outside, and I've constantly got to be fighting against video games and YouTube. But when we get outside together as a family, it's an incredible experience. And so I don't know if you realize this or not, but if you've been outside for this past week, it is the most fragrant, glorious smelling time of the year. I mean, honestly, is it not? It's incredible. Everything's in bloom. It's the season of lilacs. It's just outstanding. And so this past weekend, my family and I went out on a bike ride, and I just kind of wanted to tell my kids, like, breathe. Breathe in. Like, smell what's around you. This is incredible that we have this, and we take it for granted all the time, and God delights when we take notice of his creation. And so we were riding down the path, and I just, like, we rode past these trees, and I'm like, it smells so good right now. My wife and kids are like, will you stop talking about how good it smells? But I'm like, I can't help it. So I walk over to this tree and I'm just like standing there smelling. There's a picture of it here. I'm just like, I'm just like, it smells too good, right? And then the funny thing is my son, my 11-year-old son is like, Daddy, if you take and break off a branch and stick it in your helmet, you can ride down and then that's all you smell the whole time. And so this is him doing that. So we're riding down the bike path out by the outer harbor, and he's just having a blast, and it was great, and we were just enjoying God's creation. And so I want to encourage you, because it's very easy to look at the destruction and the disaster and the evil in this world, especially in the light of what took place yesterday, and completely overlook the beauty that is all around us, the beauty that is breaking through. And Paul is telling Timothy, acknowledge what has been provided for you each and every day for your enjoyment. And as you understand that your enjoyment is found in the Lord and the things that he so richly provides for you, you can be hopeful. You can truly be hopeful. You see, I think part of our attractiveness as followers of Jesus should be a life that includes joy, It's not that we're meant to live joyless lives, grimly holding on to what comes next. I mean, when Jesus would go to a wedding, when Jesus would hang out with his friends and other individuals, he would have a good time. Responsibly, obviously, but he would have a good time. He enjoyed the creation around him just as much as we should enjoy the creation around us. And when we understand this fully, we can truly be hopeful. As we trust in God, we are to be hopeful because God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's right outside. I would challenge you this week. We're going to have another glorious week of weather. Go outside and take a breath. Breathe in. Acknowledge what is all around you. And even when things seem dark and destructive, acknowledge, God, thank you so much for what you've done. And we're going to talk even more about that as we enter into communion in just a minute. Not quite yet. But I do want to acknowledge something for you because I think all of you are probably thinking this and this is like, okay, here we go. We're going into heart check. And if you've been around here before, you know it's like a financial campaign. So we're going to ask for a commitment at the end. And you're like, I'm ready to check out and come back in mid-June. Please don't do that because here's the thing. I want to admit to you that I'm not at a place of peace even with this message and this series. It's been very challenging for me. So when we went through this as a staff and we started to write these messages, I became very discontent. And I was like, I don't know if I can preach these messages because I am not at a place of peace right now. I already kind of hinted at the whole debt thing and me trying to pay it off earlier. I'm not going to get into massive details, but I've been trying to be as responsible as I can with my finances since January. We've been trying to tithe appropriately and do all sorts of things right, and it seems to me like ever since I've started doing that, it's been a financial disaster ever since. And so I've been struggling. I've been struggling with God. I'm like, I don't know if I'm in a place where I can do this, but the reality is that I have got to put my faith in God. And so I am going to do that. And so as I preach this series, I want to challenge you not to check out because I was almost ready to check out. Don't check out. Let's do this together because I don't have it all figured out yet. I don't have every single answer that I'm preaching you. I am a conduit for the Holy Spirit to speak the words of truth through me, but I am learning these right along with you. And so I would plead with you and ask you to let's do this together. Just as much as the church, the body of Christ, is there for one another, I am part of this family. I am part of this body, and I know together we can move forward in powerful and dynamic ways. And so I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this body, but know that I am never up here to stand up here and tell you that you should be doing this or to make you feel guilty. That is not the point of this series. That is not the point of this message. I'm learning along with you. The point of this is for us to cultivate contentment in our life, to realize that we don't need to have the next biggest, brightest thing. It's a call for us to be generous, not just with our money, but with our time and our talent. And it's a call for us to be hopeful in God's provision because he truly does give us everything we need to be happy and to be filled with joy. And so all of this is possible ultimately because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so this morning, we are going to share and partake in communion together. It is a beautiful reminder of why we can be content, why we can be generous, because Jesus himself was generous to the point of dying on the cross and taking the sacrifice that each and every one of us deserved upon himself. And we can be hopeful because what he has done for us. And so we're going to partake in communion. And our only requirement here is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have acknowledged in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, that you acknowledge that you're a sinner, and that you acknowledge that he died for your sins. And so that is the whole reality of what we get to celebrate this morning. And as we walk through heart check together, not me telling you things, but us walking through this together, as a family, we are reminded ultimately of the greatest gift ever given to us, and that is the gift of salvation that we can freely choose to receive if we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. So we remember this, we acknowledge this, and we see this. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. If you have not received your communion elements, they are on the tables around the services, and you can around the room, and you can grab those now. But as we do that, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks. And he said, this represents my body broken for you. Broken for you in your place. What hope we have because of that alone. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Similarly, after supper, Jesus took the wine. He gave thanks and he said, this represents my blood spilled out for you. It's a new covenant. The old is gone, the new has come. We are no longer bound by our sinful past, but we can have hope in a resurrected future. Take and drink in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you died on the cross for each and every one of us. That your body was broken, that your blood was spilled, but you defeated death ultimately. Lord, allow us to truly place our hope in that. Allow us to understand that you have been so generous to us that it is only natural that we are generous to others as well. And God, allow us to experience the reality of contentment in our lives. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Allow that to become more and more real as we move forward each and every day. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.